Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Yes, we will, friends. Welcome to Praying for America. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. You know what makes me the most annoyed about this Trump trial taking place in New York? That this is the one thing, and we've talked about this before, is who this man is. This, I mean, aside from the fact that it ought to be more respect for any former president of the United States, just out of respect for the office and the country. But what this man did for all of us, the economy, the freedom, the border, the military, the VA, the status of America on the world stage, the safety of the world itself, getting rid of terrorist leaders throughout the world. People should be bowing in thanksgiving. I'm not talking about making anybody a messiah or a god. I'm not talking about idolatry. I'm talking about basic human gratitude and respect. You look at the accomplishments, and you know what we ought to be doing every day between now and the election? Going through those long lists. I have a website, prolifepresident.com. It's not just about pro-life. All the different accomplishments of the Trump administration, prolifepresident.com. It just, between now and the election, we should every day be reviewing all the specific things. You know them as well as I do. But you know, you go back and you remember, oh yeah, you know, right to try, and oh, look what he did with Jerusalem and Israel and the Abraham Accords. And I mean, it's just, there's so many things we can't even keep them all at the top of our mind at the same time. And you're going to drag this man into a courtroom and talk about Stormy Daniels? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just the whole thing. No matter what was done, wasn't done, record keeping, misdemeanors, the whole thing is out of whack right from the start because of who this man is and what he did. Yeah, we know nobody's above the law, but nobody's below the law. And there are some people that are in a different category just of the respect that we should owe them, that we do owe them. The people who are doing this against President Trump, what kind of a twisted, marred, corrupted conscience do you have to have? What kind of an empty heart do you have to have to not have the reverence that would cause you to say, no, we just can't do this. We can't do something like this. All right, well, I'm going to talk about that. I got some observations to make about this Trump trial in New York. We got to get these Democrats out of office. They're doing this because they're trying to grab power. But that's two words. You want to know what's going on here? Power grab. That's it. They know they can't win the election. On their record, and I'm not just talking about Biden, I'm talking about the whole Democrat Party. They hate America, they destroy America. They can't put forward any record of any kind except of the destruction and despair to convince the American people to vote for them. They're trying to sell themselves on, hey, we're in favor of more baby killing, you know, dismember those babies left and right by abortion and late-term abortion. They think they have an opening there. When your opening with the electorate is baby killing, you're in pretty bad shape. And they don't want to talk about the issues facing America. But instead, we have to talk about hush money from decades ago and a porn star. I don't know, brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go to the Psalms. I want to start with Psalm 108 here today. Just a few verses. Psalm 108, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For steadfast is your love, and it is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. Let us pray. Lord, this is what we pray for America. Give salvation by your right hand and deliver me. Tyranny is at the door. Tyranny has breached the gates. Tyranny is among us, and its name is the Democrat Party. Enough is enough. Enable your people, O God, to see this evil, to name this evil, and to defeat this evil. Bless President Trump. Deliver him from the just outrageously sick lack of respect that is on full display in New York in these days. Lord God, if this does anything, it just makes us all the more fervent to proclaim his record, to advance his policies, and to give success to his campaign. This just fires us up all the more. All the more. Bless America, Lord God. And bless the leader you have chosen for America. Lord God, we pray in these days for wisdom upon President Trump and his team as they select the vice president, the vice presidential candidate. What a crucial decision. What a crucially important decision. Bless his team as they do this, Lord. Give wisdom. Bless all of us. And may we bear witness to your truth joyfully as we work to save this country. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, I just mentioned in the prayer the selection of the vice president. I don't have any inside information, but I know, as we all know, this process is taking place right now. You know, you look at when in the presidential election cycle vice presidents have been chosen in past election seasons. And, you know, obviously it's between the time that the nominee has becomes the presumptive nominee, gets enough delegates, which, of course, that has happened for President Trump. Between then and the convention, when, of course, obviously the person has to be there and present and visible and speak. So you've got this period of a few months now. Somewhere, somehow in these few months, again, I don't have any inside info, this decision is going to be made and announced. So the process, which is a very private process, is underway now. So as we pray for America, I want to ask all of us that we make it a very specific prayer intention now every day for the wisdom, God's wisdom on the selection of the vice presidential candidate. And you can just imagine, we'll reflect on this more tomorrow, the kind of pressure, the kind of attacks, the ferocious attacks. If this is what they're doing to President Trump, and we all know it and we see it, imagine what they're going to do to someone who, I mean, nobody, I don't know of anybody who's as strong as President Trump is. So, you know, he can pick the best vice presidential candidate in the world. I doubt that they're going to have his level of strength and endurance. But I can tell you what, they are going to have his level of persecution. So we got to pray not only for wisdom in the process, we got to pray for the person that God already knows is going to be the one selected. So join us, especially tomorrow night, for this special time of prayer when it comes to this this crucially important prayer intention. All right. So listen, before we get into the Trump trial, more things about the Trump trial. Biden has done it again. What do I mean? Gary Bauer, our friend, sends out his daily email. He says he told us his son, Beau, died in Iraq. He didn't. Biden said he was once a truck driver. He wasn't. He said his first job offer came from a lumber mill. It didn't. His house nearly burned down. No, it didn't. He rode the rails over the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Never happened. He was a professor. Nope. He must have a doctorate in lying, is what Gary Bauer said. And now Biden is telling you, I'm sure you've seen this already, but I just wanted to have an opportunity to comment on this too. Now Biden is talking about good old Uncle Ambrose, eaten by cannibals. Like Biden says, no joke, no joke. This is what he said. Twice the other day, he implied that his Uncle Ambrose Finnegan was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea after his plane crashed during World War II. Problem? Military records show, and the Pentagon's POW MIA accounting agency said, that Finnegan's plane was actually lost over the open ocean, May 14th, 1944. But what is there? What does Joe Brandon say? He got shot down in an area, he said, the lying president that he is, where there were a lot of cannibals at the time. They never recovered his body. But the government went back when I went down there. He's everywhere, by the way. Oh, and he was raised in every possibly imagined ethnic community. He was actually raised with them all. Biden says, I went down there. Yeah, he was everywhere, you know, with Xi Jinping, and he was everywhere. He was with everybody. He was everywhere. He's a member of every community. He says, and they checked and they found some parts of the plane. He got shot down there in New Guinea and they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals. For real. Whenever Biden says for real or no joke, not lying, you know he's lying. For real. In that part of New Guinea. This guy is such an embarrassment. I mean, what is the rest of the world thinking? This guy is such an embarrassment. He's so corrupt. He is a pathological liar. He's a disgrace. Okay. Trump in New York. You know, let me address something first and foremost. Okay, you know what the Democrats are doing here. And there's multiple layers of the election interference that characterize this trial and the other cases where they want to get a trial. They were hoping to already be in the midst of multiple trials, but Trump's team is great and they are using the proper provisions of the law to request different stays, and certain things are being litigated in court, and we'll get to the Supreme Court, what they're talking about this week about presidential immunity. There's all this going on that is delaying the other three potential trials till most likely they won't happen. Anyway, election day will happen first. But this one obviously is underway. Okay. Besides distracting, let's review it. We've talked about this before, you know that. But let's just review it so that we remember part of the purpose of this program as we pray for America is to be able to intelligently talk about what's going on in America in soundbite form to our fellow voters. Okay. What are they trying to do? Obviously, number one, take him off of the campaign trail. He's got to sit in a courtroom all the time. He should be out campaigning, should be having more rallies. He's having rallies, and hopefully you watch each and every one of them as I do. But he should be out there having rallies every day. Instead, he's got to be in this courtroom with a bunch of hypocrite, corrupt people. And so they want to keep him off the campaign trail. They want to distract the public from the issues at hand that we should be talking about in America, and instead be talking about Stormy Daniels and hush money. And what else do they want to do? They want to get a conviction. And this is why they have 91 charges, each of the one of them as ridiculous as the next. And yet they only need one to come through as a conviction. Now, will it happen in this case? I think it's unlikely, but it's certainly possible. And it's certainly, I mean, the bias is clear, but you only need one, common sense juror. But you've got a possibility here that they can get this conviction, because then, okay, instead of talking about Biden's utter failure of a presidency, they can say, oh, but you don't want to vote for a convicted felon, do you? And I want to address those voters, and then you got a certain small percentage of Republicans, and you've got a bigger percentage of independents. I mean, the core Trump base, this, like I said, this is going to make us just, all of this stuff makes us want to vote for him all the more. The Trump base is immovable, and I'm proud to be part of it with so many of you. But the Republicans that are not so strong, not so much enthusiastic about Trump to begin with, they know that he's better than Biden, but, they're not necessarily all in. You've got some that won't vote for him if they convict him. And here's, what do we say? I mean, we all have people like this in our own lives, in our own circle of influence. What do we say to them? If they bring up, oh, yeah, you talk about all the great things about him, but, I can't vote for a convicted felon. If he's convicted, I can't vote for him. You know what my response to something like that? It would be simply to say this. Well, what if he's convicted of a fake crime? I think that's our response. I mean, aside from, first of all, I believe he can win this election and would win this election, even if he were in prison. I don't think they're going to get him into prison. What are you going to do? Close down the prison? You have to have security with him all the time. I mean, presidential security, Secret Service security. He's a former president. He's a presidential candidate. Being convicted, even being imprisoned, which I don't think is going to happen, it doesn't take away your status as the candidate. And there's no law that says you can't run for president from a jail cell. And there's no law that says you can't win. I think he would win. But the point I'm making is, how do you answer those who say, oh, I would not vote for someone who's convicted? Convicted of what? That's the point right there. If the charges are nonsense to begin with, then they're still nonsense after a jury says, yes, he's guilty. It's still nonsense. A guilty verdict from a jury is, by the way, in New York City, okay, doesn't make the whole basis for the charges any more credible. It doesn't. So, he's convicted of a fake crime. So you wouldn't vote for someone convicted of a fake crime. Or another way to put it is, oh, so you're going to let these prosecutors take your vote away. And this is something that Alan Dershowitz brought up. Let me go to that right now. All right, Alan Dershowitz, respected Harvard professor, constitutional, one of the top constitutional experts in our country, and not a Trump voter himself, said, what's going on here with this New York case? He said these words are his words. It's the state that's violating the right of all of us, himself included, as voters to vote for a candidate based on the pros and cons of his candidacy. That's the point. The pros and cons of his candidacy, not on some made-up fake criminal charges. That's Alan Dershowitz's words. He says, in 60 years of practicing and writing and teaching criminal law, he's never seen a case as weakened as this one. Never. That says a lot. But notice how he's framing this. Notice how he's explaining this. And this is what you can talk to your friends about. I wouldn't vote for someone who's convicted. Convicted of what? A fake crime? In the words of Dershowitz, a made-up fake charge? A made-up fake charge, is it all of a sudden not made up and fake because jurors voted? You can't undo the nothingness that's there from the start just by running it through the mill of the process. I think this is important for us to bring up, but also the point of, oh, so you're going to let them steal your vote. Do you want to vote for Trump? See, we're talking about Trump voters here. Trump voters, all things being equal, they would vote for him. And some of them say, oh, but I wouldn't vote for him if they convict him. Yeah, but then you're letting them steal, you're letting the state of New York, you're letting Alvin Bragg steal your vote. That's what you're doing. You're letting Joe Biden steal your vote. Remember, because he's in on this too, even though this is a state level trial. Biden's behind this all the way. And it's like, you're going to let them steal your vote? Because that's what, look, that's literally what's happening. Because they're the ones that are bringing about this clown show to get him convicted, right? And then it's like, they know full well what they're trying to do. They know that there's people like you who say, oh, I'm not going to vote for someone who's convicted, and never mind that it's a fake crime. But shouldn't you be voting based on, like, what's in your mind before the idea of conviction? Shouldn't you be voting based on, like Alan Dershowitz says, the pros and cons of the candidate and his policies and his accomplishments, not just promises. He's got a track record as president. We know he can do these things. We know he's ready to do them again. Matthew Colangelo. I feel sorry for you, Matthew. Prosecutor in this sham of a trial. Let me address you directly. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I feel sorry for you. Because in the annals of history, you now have, and it's done. It's done already. It's too late. It's too late, Matthew. You have such a dark spot in the annals of American history right now to be the prosecutor of the first former president to go through something like this, criminal charges, criminal trial. And your name is going to be a little, it'll just be a little reference there in the history books. But that's what you grew up for. That's what you were born for. That's what you got trained for. That's what you worked for. Do you have a family? Do you have anybody who's like proud of you? And you're going to go down in history on the wrong side of history, prosecuting the best president of the United States. I'm not sure what went wrong inside the neurons of your brain, but it's whatever it is, it's pretty serious. And to be in a situation like this, but so these guys are trying to say, but furthermore, that what they're trying to do, let me let Dershowitz summarize it again. He said, in order to get where we are today, okay, he said this to Newsmax just today, in order to get where we are today, the state, okay, New York State, by the way, I was born and raised in New York, but I'm ashamed of New York. This is what a corrupt place. Got my ministry out of New York and down here to Florida before the China virus came. But really, it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And where, if you can possibly get out of there, get out of there. In order to get to where we are today, the state had to take minor misdemeanor election filing statements that may have been untrue in corporate forms, which was long ago expired under the statute of limitations, and then try to turn it into a state felony by invoking a federal statute, which they don't even name and which they have no jurisdiction over. I'm no attorney, but that sure sounds crappy to me. Let me read that again. In order to get where we are today, the state had to take minor misdemeanor election filing statements that may have been untrue in corporate forms. And even if so, it's a misdemeanor. So he says long ago expired, not only misdemeanor, but expired under the statute of limitations. And then try to turn it into a state felony by invoking a federal statute. What authority does Alvin Bragg have over federal statutes? Zero. Has about as much authority as I have. Zero, Bragg, zero. By the way, Alvin Bragg, again, I don't know what went wrong with the neurons in your skull, but I sure feel sorry for you, boy. The history books are getting, it's a big blotch. It's a you can't get rid of it anymore, Alvin. Take all the showers that you want. It's never going to go away. The blotch on your name forever in history. It's sealed. It's there. That's it. What a shame. Long ago expired under the statute of limitations, and then turn it into a state felony by invoking a federal statute which they don't even name and which they have no jurisdiction over. Wow, what a clown show. But I want to tell you, listen, don't lose the main point. Let me get to the main point here. the main thing we have to keep in mind here. Although, I mean, obviously, side point, they're fast-tracking this. They want a conviction before Election Day, obviously. And that's why the jury got selected so fast. I mean, you look at you know, trials and jury selection. Usually it takes longer than a few days. What's the main point here? Friends, don't miss it. Dick Morris spoke about this over the weekend. I want to thank him for bringing it front and center. They want Trump to testify. Now, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. But understand the strategy here. The Democrats, the prosecutors, the other side that's trying to interfere in this election, again, summarize this whole thing in two words, power grab. They want President Trump on the witness stand. Why? Think about it. Because in this case, he wouldn't be able to invoke the Fifth Amendment. He'd have to answer every question. And they would ask him every question. They would ask him every misinterpreted, misunderstood, twisted thing he ever said or did. And they'd ask him to explain it. And brothers and sisters, why would they want him explaining all these things under oath? You getting where I'm going with this? Understand it, because this is their goal. Perjury. The crap that they're charging him with is crap. Right? Alan Dershowitz himself, no Trump voter himself, made up fake criminal charges. You can't hit that hard enough into the minds of our fellow voters. This is all made up garbage. But perjury wouldn't be. If he says something under oath on that stand, they're going to look, they're going to analyze every syllable and come back and charge him with perjury. Not because, I'm not saying he's intentionally lying about anything. I'm saying you could make things into whatever you want them to be. Once you have somebody actually sitting there under oath talking about, again, just a vast range of different things, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think they're going to try to make happen? They're going to charge him with something else. They want to charge him with something else that isn't so utterly absurd and ridiculous and twisting of the Constitution and the law. They want him to testify. He shouldn't. Now, neither side can say, I mean, according to the norms in place here, okay, you got this criminal trial going on. Neither side can say, oh, well, we do want him to testify. Oh, we don't want him to testify. Because you don't want to look like you're creating the. We can talk about this. The prosecution can't. And the defense, you don't want them going out there saying, oh, no, we don't want our witness on the stand. No, we're the ones that have to talk about this. You see what they're trying to do? Let's get him on a charge of perjury. And by the way, you know the Bible. It's exactly what the enemy always uses. You see the prophet Jeremiah talking about the persecution of the just one and let us entrap him in his speech. And what did they try to do to Jesus? Time and time and time again. Scribes and the Pharisees, they would ask him questions to do what? The gospel explicitly says it, to trap him in his speech. This is an age-old spiritual tactic of warfare that an enemy uses to bring down his enemy. Constant throughout human history. Let us trap him in his speech. That is what the goal is here. This is why you wonder how they go to sleep at night. You know, I asked Matthew there if he's got a family, anybody that kind of looks up to him, because he should be ashamed looking at into their eyes. Just imagine how embarrassed. By the way, if he has, you know, someday grandchildren, great grandchildren, great great grandchildren, realize how embarrassed they're going to be. They're going to have to say, like Peter said, you know, the night before Jesus died, oh, I don't know the man. His own descendants are going to have to. Alvin Bragg, can you imagine? I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. That's the level of shame for all of these people who are persecuting and prosecuting President Trump. So understand that the end game here, understand the goal here, okay? Okay. Supreme Court, we'll get to this more in another program, but the Supreme Court will hear on Thursday the Trump immunity case. Just again, as a brief summary, look, the President of the United States has to have the freedom to decide, to speak, to act in the best interests of the American people. He can't constantly be looking over his shoulders and worrying that some act he takes as president is later going to get him into criminal prosecution. Can't do it. It's too much of a, the office is too much of a burden already, just in and of itself. You've got to give the man freedom. That's what immunity is. It doesn't mean anyone's above the law. It means that the law applies to your particular circumstances and the job you've got. And, you know, Brett Kavanaugh said this before becoming a judge. He worked in the George W. Bush White House, as you probably know. And he argued that, quote, a president who is concerned about an ongoing criminal investigation is almost inevitably going to do a worse job as president. The same is true, President Trump said, if that criminal investigation is waiting in the wings until he leaves office. We can't have this in America. This immunity case, which, by the way, will determine what happens with the other three potential trials, the other three indictments with President Trump. And this is what has delayed, they wanted the trial to start back at the beginning of March in one of these other cases. It's like, no, we have to resolve this constitutional question. A president is claiming immunity. You have to have that. President Trump said you have to let these charges go forward against him, you know, in terms of, oh, he tried to overturn the election with the January 6th rally, becomes a mortal threat to the presidency's independence. He knows. He had the job, unlike the rest of us. He had the job for 4 years. The presidency itself cannot retain its vital independence, these are President Trump's words, if the president faces criminal prosecution for official acts once he leaves office. Common sense, folks. Common sense. It's not so common, is it? Let's turn to the Lord and pray for it. Father, we come before you today, troubled by these events in this Trump trial in New York. What a sham, what a disgrace, what a blatant election interference. So we pray for America. Deliver us from the people who do these things. Deliver us from the lack of respect that's necessary in one's mind and heart to be able to do these things. Bless President Trump and bless his legal team and continue to give them tremendous grace, favor, and strength. Send the Holy Spirit into that courtroom. We, the body of Christ, invoke the Holy Spirit into that courtroom. Into the minds and hearts of everybody there. But Lord, into the minds and hearts of everybody watching, that America has to be dragged through this nonsense for 8 weeks instead of talking about the nation's security and the nation's economy and how to stop inflation, what to do with the spiraling debt and what to do with the wars going on in the world. Lord, have we nothing else to talk about? Bless your people and focus their attention where it needs to be. Father, we have so many needs. We just bring them all before you here now and the needs of all our viewers and listeners, Lord God, whatever those needs might be, look with favor upon us. And we now pray in the words that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Thanks for watching me tonight, friends. Spread the word about Praying for America. And remember, we need to pour out the Holy Spirit on those who are making this incredibly consequential and momentous decision. So join us then. Join us every weeknight here on Praying for America. God bless you.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.